From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
What if both of those don't work in getting my attention? What does he use? Number three, God uses pain. Capital P-A-I-N. He uses pain to get our attention. Really? Uh-huh. You see, pain is God's hearing aid when we can't hear him any other way.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope. Coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, part two of a message entitled God's Disturbing Delivery System. Pastor Wayne is showing us some ways in which God speaks to us today. Some are gentle and familiar, others a bit terrifying. But when God wants to speak, he'll do whatever it takes to get his message across, to get our attention. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, God's Disturbing Delivery System.
But the second is to know truth, because God is going to bring truth to you through different packaging. Sometimes the packaging's not very comfortable. It's not really sugar-coated. It's going to be pretty disturbing and presented poorly sometimes. But in the midst of it, if you can know truth and get rid of the rest of the stuff, but if you can extract that which is precious from that which is worthless, then you'll be able to learn from every avenue that God brings to you. Well, you say, well, how do we get there? How do we know what truth is? Who will help us? Number two, God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. Would you write that down? Through the Holy Spirit. He's the one that God has called alongside of us to help. In fact, let's read the scripture and you'll see what I mean. John 16, go. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. Would you underline, he will guide you into all truth. You know what that's saying? He will guide you into all truth. Here's what it's saying. Listen. He will guide you into all truth. What does that mean? It means truth needs a guide. You can't find it on your own. I don't care how philosophically astute you think you are, if you're a guru up on a monastery on a hill, if you're trying to do it on your own wisdom and intellect, you're never going to find divine or spiritual truth. Truth needs a guide. And the guide is the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. And God has given him to us to partner with us, to minister to us, to guide us into all truth. Because I've got to know truth. If you don't know truth, even though it's wrapped up in a horrible packaging, what we'll have a tendency to do is summarily dismiss the whole delivery system. But God is saying, no, I've got some truth. No, I don't like the way he said it. I don't like the way he said it. My boss said it like that, and I don't care. I don't think he should have said it like that. Who does he think he is? And I don't like the way my wife thinks she tries to say it. She just condescends to me. That's it. I'm not listening to you, to you, to you, to you. And you know what you've just done? You've cut out basically 99.9% of all the avenues through which truth will come to you because you don't like the way they packaged it. So the only one I'm going to hear truth from now on? Two people, me and the person in the mirror. That's it. And every morning I'm just going to bow down and say, Halle Mia, Halle Mia. And God is saying, no, the Spirit of God will guide you so that when you can see that even though it's a disturbing delivery system, I will show you that there's truth there. And you then can discard the packaging because we all know that sometimes people are not going to say it the way they should say it. Whether it comes from a boss, it's going to be emotionally charged or going to have some vestige of anger to it. It's going to have some problems related to it. The semantics won't be right. They won't say it and phrase it just like it should. The timing is not going to be right. But is there truth there? If you can discern and hear truth, if you know him and you know truth, you'll be able to, regardless of the delivery system, you'll be able to gain truth and grow from every single one of those venues. You understand? You can discard the presentation, but you can grow. Instead of just saying, I'm not listening to anybody. And you become a rebel. You become a naysayer. You become someone that's contentious in spirit because I just don't like the way people talk to me. But is there truth? I don't care. Then you lost. That's it. You won't be able to hear God's direction. You won't have ears that hear. Because you see, there's going to be times it's not going to come across just right. If you're a student, there's going to be sometimes you're a son or a daughter, your room could be filthy, and your parents will tell you to clean it up. And they might not always present that as like they should. They won't package it right. They won't use the right words. Because sometimes they'll just kind of blurt out, you stupid kid, you lazy slob, clean up your stinking room. How many times do I have to tell you, you lazy slob? Well, if you talk to me like that, I'm not going to do it because you're not just very eloquent, are you? But is there truth? I mean, there's rats packing up their suitcase saying, we're getting out of here. This place is filthy. It's filthy. Cockroaches are evacuating because it's so filthy. Is there truth? Yes. Then discard the packaging. Sure, it could have been done better. Sure, it could have been done with more maturity. You learn from that. And when you have to correct someone, learn from that. But until then, get the truth. And once you're able to discern truth, the Holy Spirit will be pleased and God will start moving more through you. And that's exactly what Jeremiah 15:19 says. He said this, he says, if you will return to me, saith the Lord, then before me you shall stand. And if you will learn to extract the precious from the worthless, you shall be my spokesman. I'll run my words through you. I'll live my life through you. But you have to know him and know truth. Otherwise, you won't be able to discern the voice of God. If you know him, you know exactly what he's saying when he's not even saying anything. And if you know truth, God can use all kinds of packaging systems, some good, some not so good, but you'll be able to get truth from every single one, and you'll be a richer person because of it. The Holy Spirit's going to teach you, and sometimes he works directly with you too, to speak to you. How does the Holy Spirit work with you and speak to you? The Holy Spirit is a very gentle member of the Trinity, as all are, but he is likened unto a dove and not a hawk. But one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit is that he's very persistent, and he'll stay with you until you change. Now, there'll be a time if you consistently and constantly reject him. The Bible says God will not strive with man forever, but the Holy Spirit is very persevering. Thank God for that. If there's something of your attitude, something of your mentality, something of your philosophy, a living condition that you're in, something that you have to change, he'll just put his finger on your family, on your marriage, and he'll just leave it there. And you'll feel the weight of God, that God's concern is there. And you can shake it as much as you can, but you will not get it off your shoulders. He'll still keep his, you can shake and shake and shake, and he'll just keep his finger on you. You can run and run and run, but you can't run away from the Spirit of God. You can be like Jonah and go to Tarshish. He'll still keep his finger on you. And that's just how he is. He just puts his finger on you, and you know you got to do something about it. It could be 2 years. He's got his finger on you. And you can run. Ooh, you ran fast there. Oh, far. Ooh, you went far away that time. Oh, you went into the dark. Oh, yeah, fast. Woo-hoo. Until one day you stop and repent. The Holy Spirit will stay with you, and he perseveres because he wants you to change your life and save the loss of a life. He will speak to you. Now, know him, know truth. The Holy Spirit helps you in this one. The Bible helps you in this one. Accurate Bible teaching helps you in this one. But if you know him, you'll know what he's saying. If you know truth, even if it's not the best packaged delivery systems, you'll be richer because you'll be able to discern truth. And instead of reacting to stuff and getting yourself into more trouble, you'll receive stuff and you'll get yourself healthier. Truth. Know him, know truth. Now you say, well, Wayne, what if both of those don't work in getting my attention? What does he use? Number three, God uses pain. Capital P A I N. He uses pain. pain to get our attention. Really? Uh-huh. You see, pain is God's hearing aid when we can't hear Him any other way. And He uses pain. He does? Uh-huh. Yeah, He does. He uses pain. Why? To let you know the condition of your spiritual soul. What? You see, you remember when Samson rejected God's warning, even God's terrifying warnings, again and again, to the point where Delilah, remember her? Delilah tempts him, not once, not twice, not three, four times. And God spoke to him at every one, yet he rejected again and again the warnings of God. The Philistines come in, and do you remember what they did to him? They gouged out his eyes. That's right. I mean, it's a horrible thing. Eyeball kebabs. And they just pop them out. And you think, oh, that is terrible. Uh-huh, it is terrible. Why? Why did all of that happen? Because if, listen carefully, if I reject God again and again and again, God will allow my physical life to match my spiritual health. The condition of my soul will become the condition of my life. You see, already Samson had chosen to be spiritually blind. And God, if we reject Him again and again, you will find that He will make your physical condition the same as your spiritual condition. It'll happen. It'll manifest itself physically. If I reject God and I don't want God around me, I don't want Him around, and I just say, leave me alone. If I reject Him long enough, my spiritual condition, which is barren, I will find it will be manifested in my physical life. And I will turn around one day and I'll have a financial collapse. I'll have things go bad. My family will go bad. And I will be physically in barrenness. How did God do that? Why did He do that? Because He's just matching your spiritual condition, because you've got to see what's going on. And you can't live this duplicitous life where you say, I'm barren spiritually, but bless me physically. Uh-uh. No, God is saying, you want me to bless you physically, then make sure that the spiritual condition of your life is healthy. That's why 3 John says this, listen, I pray that you prosper even as your soul prospers. You see, God is saying, if you choose to be barren in your soul, it'll manifest itself physically. That's just a spiritual principle. But if there's a prospering in your soul, God says, then I can trust you with physical prosperity, because you'll know what I'm saying even when I don't speak, because you know me. And you'll be able to steward well what I entrust to you. You understand? God's will is to prosper us. But He says, I want you to prosper even as your soul prospers. I don't want it to be something that's of pretense. So God is going to sometimes use some pretty tough things to get our attention. If we're going the wrong way and our life is going down, let's say we're moving in a direction and we're sacrificing our family on the altar of mammon or success. I'm sacrificing my morals on the altar of success. I don't mind sacrificing my faith on the altar of success. God's going to have to get our attention really fast. Otherwise, a life is going to be lost. And so you know what He does? He uses His hearing aid. Boop, puts it in my ear. Boop. And it's called pain. I was at a water course, a safety course, and the instructor was teaching us how to save people when they're flailing in the water and drowning. And you've got, as a lifeguard or whatever, because I was doing a lot of youth camps, how to save one of these kids. And he says, now, if you're not careful, because they're so emotionally distraught, they're flailing in the water, and if you try to save them and they start flailing, both of you are going to go down. They'll nail you and you're going to go down with them, and you'll lose them and maybe your own life. I said to the instructor, has that ever happened to you? He said, yeah. I said, you're kidding. So what do you do to get him to settle down? He said, you want to know? I said, yeah. He said, I punch him. I said, you what? He said, I slap him silly. I said, no way. You're trying to save him, not kill him. I said, that's right. But if you don't, they will take you down. There will be a loss of life. Really? Uh-huh. Just whap. And they, whoa. I said, that works? No, but it shuts them up real fast. And I thought, I bet God does that to us. I'm flailing around and I'm about to lose my life and my family. All of a sudden, there's a big old hand coming out of heaven. Whap! Poof! Settle down. Yes, sir. Isn't that right? Just whap-o. Why? So we don't lose life. And that's exactly what the scripture says. Let's read what it says here in 2 Corinthians 7:9. Go. I now rejoice, not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God. Why? So that you might not suffer loss in... See, the reason God has to do that to get our attention is so that we don't suffer loss. He sees the direction we're going in. And if we don't listen by knowing Him and the Spirit's leading, whap, and paint. There's going to be times you may get laid off. You might get fired. You might get demoted. You might get marginalized. Does God do that? No. But can he speak through it? Do you think God can speak through those disturbing delivery systems? You bet your life He can. He'll speak to you to discipline your life so that as you come out of it with a new discipline, you won't repeat that same behavior again and again. You mean I might get fired or get demoted? Yeah, could be. God will speak through it. Uh-huh. Well, why does He let it happen? Why did He do that? God didn't do that. Well, how did it happen? Because you dumb. That's right. We get demoted, we get fired because of our own mouth, our own attitude, our dumbness, our lack of punctuality, a lack of people skills. We have an attitude problem. We blame everybody else. We don't do what we're supposed to do. All of those things. So we get fired, we get laid off, we get demoted. Was that God's will? No, it's not God's will. Men seldom do God's will. But can He speak through that? Absolutely. To what? To bring you new discipline so that that doesn't happen again. Really? Mm-hmm. Let's read the next scripture and we can see what He's saying. Go. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It is painful. But afterward, there will be a quiet harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Yeah, but I lose my job. Mm-hmm. God's going to train you though. But doesn't He care about my job? He does care about your job, but listen carefully. God is less concerned with what you're doing and a whole lot more concerned in what you're becoming. Because if I didn't get a slap, I'd get a position, but I'd lose my character, lose my witness, lose my testimony. God is less concerned with what I'm doing, a whole bunch more with what I'm becoming. Because if you're becoming the person God wants you to be, through you, He can change the world. Yeah, but if I get demoted, you know, I could have been a governor. I could have been the president of the... Hey, listen, don't get... Here it is. Please listen. Don't get so enamored with what you do that you lose who you are. Because sometimes in order to do this, I'm willing to compromise my morality, my faith, my everything. Because I want to be doing this. And the Lord is saying, don't get so enamored with what you do. Yeah, but wait. These spiritual ones will say, if I become governor, you know what I can do for the kingdom of God? If I became president, why, you know what would happen to America? I could influence America. We have a Christian president. I don't see any huge revival taking place. Listen carefully. God didn't change the world with a president. He changed the world through a carpenter. Jesus could have become a president. He could have become the governor of Rome. He could have been anything. But for some reason, He took on the trade of a carpenter. I bet it's the Lord's way of saying to us, I can use you wherever you are. I am less concerned with what you're doing, a whole lot more with what you're becoming. And if your heart is right, Oh, yeah, I can use them in presidency. I can use them in governors. But it's not the position. It's the position of your heart. It's the posture of our hearts. Because I know people in high mucky-muck positions that aren't doing anything. And I know some that are the poor of the world that are doing tons. It's the heart that he's looking for. Don't get so enamored with what you do that you lose who you are. Remember who you are, whatever position God puts you in. If he puts you in an affluent and an influential position, steward it well. Steward it well. But God can use anyone. So never think that just because you're a blue-collar worker, God cannot use you. Oh, man. He uses many of those with which he changed the world. And God is more concerned with who you are, that you know him firsthand, and that you know truth so that you can discern truth. And then with that, if God needs to, he uses pain and you'll be okay because you know it comes from love. It doesn't come from anger. It comes from love. Those are testing times. But let me tell you something about knowing God. If you're a college student, because a lot of people in the church say, well, we know God. That's easy. No. It's more than just knowing God. It's knowing God. So even if he says nothing, you know exactly what he's saying. And when the disturbing delivery systems come, you don't run from it or dismiss it. You got to know God. Well, what do you mean? For example, if you're a college student and you say, I know this subject, let's say it's physics or math or whatever it might be. If you say, I know this subject, what does that mean? How is that going to be proven? By the fact that in the dorms, you can argue with the best of them? In the stairwell, you can debate with other students over the subject? No. If you really know the subject, you will do well, not in the stairwells or in the hallways, you will do well in the tests. You see, if I say, I know the subject, I know it, but I'm getting an F in every test I take on it, it's like, duh. You can talk a good talk, but you don't know nothing about English. You don't know anything. That's how you're supposed to say it. Now, you don't know a thing. But when the tests come, if you really know, you will ace them. If I know God, when the tests come, can I extract truth? If you can, you know God. If you can't, go back to step one and get into the Word of God. Get to know him. Because you'll do well in the tests then. But sometimes God's going to have to turn up the noise a little, turn up the volume. And if we're not careful, we'll dismiss that. And we'll blame God. But be careful. Watch for the truth. Let me finish with this story. A man was driving his brand new Mercedes down the old country road on a Saturday afternoon, just doing a Sunday afternoon drive, when all of a sudden he heard this bang on the side of his passenger car door. Some kid had thrown this humongous rock and just dented his door. He stops and he sees his kid in his rear view mirror, about 9 years old, just shaking like a leaf next to the road. He backs up his car and he jumps out and he starts reaming that kid. You stupid kid, what are you doing? I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue your parents. You're done. You're finished. And the little kid is there saying, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. Why did you throw that rock at my new car? What's the matter with you? And the little kid said, I'm sorry, sir, but my brother and I were playing in our treehouse, and he fell and he broke his leg and something else. He can't breathe very good right now. And I tried to stop cars. 7 cars went by. Nobody stopped. So I threw the rock, and you're the first one to stop. And sure enough, he ran up there, and the boy had some internal injuries. So he whisked them off in his car to the emergency and saved that little boy's life. And you know, I think God, sometimes you need to do that with us. The delivery system is not the nicest, but it stops us in our tracks because you don't want the loss of a life. For all discipline does not seem joyful, but sorrowful. And God sometimes brings affliction according to the will of God in order that, he says, that you might not suffer loss in anything. You know what? God loves us so much that he's willing to use some pretty disturbing delivery systems. But If you know Him and you can discern and know truth, you'll develop ears that hear and eyes that see and a heart that's being transformed. Through you, God will change this world. That's called the church. Those are the people that we want to be. And even though God uses disturbing delivery systems, we'll have ears that'll hear Him clearly. Amen. We'll receive that. We receive that.
You have just heard a message entitled God's Disturbing Delivery System by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for joining us. For those of you who listen to Words of New Hope regularly, we encourage you to consider supporting this ministry financially. One way you can do so is by visiting our website and ordering some of the products in our resources department. Just go to www.enewhope.org and click on the resources tab. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.